Hey, it's your boys here at Brothering Around, and our good friends at Audible.com have got quite the deal for you. If you're a listener to Brothering Around, if you go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you can get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial of Audible. Over 180,000 books to choose from. You get it just sent to your device. You don't even have to do the hard part of reading. They read it to you. If you got a device that listens to Brothering Around, you got a device that can get on Audible, go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Get signed up today and get a book on the house from your boys here at Brothering Around. Oh, what is even happening right now, internet? It's episode number 19 of Brothering Around, and it's your boy Wes Gardner, Commie to Hobo, in the house, live and in person. And sadly, no Marco Flores. He's in the Philippines. He's doing martial arts. He's kicking trees down with his bare feet. Crazy. Super strong guy. But you know what? It wouldn't be a good Brothering Around without getting some good quality brothers in here. And that's what we got for you today. We got Mr. Todd EVF right over here coming back to the show. How are you, sir?
I am doing quite well. Quite well.
Heck yeah. And then a little blast from the old past, part of the Hobo Network himself, Mr. Vampiric Warrior, triumphant return. How are you, man?
You know, doing vampire things. Good.
Yeah. Good times.
I'm happy to be back.
Vampire things, love it.
Like, what would that entail? Just, like, feeding on people, or what is that?
Well, it all starts with a troll. You gotta stalk. I mean, you have to be the creeper. You have to. I mean, you gotta sniff out the right, like... night stroll, stalking, whole nine yards.
Good know, times, just
but
pillaging.
I'm happy to be back. Oh, yeah, you got to go a little Viking on it.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. But, and Mr. Todd, what have you been up to, sir, besides yelling at Vamp for his mic cutting out?
Yeah, I mean, besides that, I have also been doing vampire stuff, vampire-related stuff. I've been really connecting with the Vampire the Masquerade community, and I mean, they've been awesome to me in the past, and I've been kind of doing some stuff with them. Amazing website, Planet Vampire. They helped me out in the past. They set up a Discord thing. They invited me. So people have been asking lore questions and stuff like that. So I've been doing a lot of that. And then, of course, there's the, 80, 90 hours of my day that go towards creative streaming.
Right, yeah. The other entire life dedicated to making content. Yep.
Oh, God damn.
Gotta keep the kindreds, covenant alive, man.
I mean, it's right. Just...
We need to grow.
Oh God, it's just things have been just getting really like amazing in a sense, at least on the World of Darkness front, because they released a game which is basically two visual novels, which I wish Audible had versions of, because then I'd be able to like enjoy them when I'm at work.
Right,
but that would be awesome.
It would be. It'd be great if the things were voiced and I didn't have to spend 3 hours reading them aloud on stream.
Right.
Someone does it for you. Yeah.
The Brothering Around podcasts have now invaded my work.
Nice. Yes.
Yep. Sunday, I was like, because I do dishes on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pretty much prep cooking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm tired of because my manager, he likes to listen to like 90s rap and stuff like that, boring stuff.
Boring stuff. 90s rap. Yeah. I mean, it encompasses
for me, it
so
is.
Much. Right. It encompasses so much music.
Don't get me wrong. I like my 69 Boys and Two Live Crew and
yeah.
Coolio and I'm a huge Sir Mix.
Oh, sure. Well, who's not? Like, I want to meet the person who's not a good Sir Mix-a-Lot fan.
I know, right? Be like, oh, you're not? Okay, hold on. Come here. Come back to my van. I got some candy for you.
That doesn't sound creepy at all. I'm a van player. Come out to my van, and I'll show you Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Exactly. But yeah, so I was like, all right, you know what? Because I missed the past couple of... And so I just put it on and just started busting out some dishes, and... Yep, it's invaded my work.
It's good.
Not even like mad or, well, not mad, but I don't even care. Right. You don't like it or not.
Right, just blare it, man. Just crank it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. The only way to listen to it.
That's right.
I mean, when I'm at the day job the new podcast comes out, I'm just like, okay, well, let me go to the YouTube channel, pull it up, and I'll just play it. And, oh, it's done? Let me play it again. And that's what I'll do for my entire shift. So everybody, my boss has to listen to it. And she goes, what are you listening to? And I'm just like, I was on this podcast. Like, this is the last appearance. I'm like, I was on this. So don't give me shit. You know, you want me to work like 12-hour days, 16-hour days. I'm listening to my shit.
That's right.
I could just be Todd, like, looking at him, be like, greatest thing history.
Yeah, I mean, you're witnessing history.
Or exactly. Just turn around.
The biggest thing.
They ask, like, what are you listening to? And when you turn around, you have sunglasses and a big fur coat, and you're like, I'm a star. Like, do you know who you're talking to right now?
Like in the air, like just no autographs. His hair and stuff.
You just basically become the Miz. Like that, yeah. Whenever
oh my God.
You're just Hollywood style.
Yep.
Just make, well, if you're going to be the Miz, you have to stand behind a woman. Just right. Saying.
Well, either that or have a stunt double. I mean, one or the other.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You hear that. Speaking of the Miz, God. I can't even wrap my brain around what happened to the Miz. Like, he has always been like one of those wrestlers that I kind of enjoy watching.
Yeah.
But anytime he opens his mouth, it's like, I got to run to the store and buy an earplug.
Sure.
Just every time. Yeah. It's like, why, man? Just be quiet and wrestle.
Yeah, he's embraced it now. I would say his strongest suit is actually the talking, because he's so good at being a dick, because he's actually
annoying,
a dick.
Yes.
Like, he's legit a dick. I've met him one time, and he was a dick. Like, he was just a dick. So, so it was like, yeah, you know, he plays that up really well. It's a heightened version of himself. But lately, he's been on the run, man. He's done everything right in getting all kinds of heat. Like, he steals all of Daniel Bryan's moves. He, like, mimics the whole thing. He mocks the yes chant. Like, he's doing everything by the playbook. So, you know, I don't... He's the type of heel that... it's not that I love to hate him. I actually just don't like him, but he's so good, I kind of have to let him get away with it anyway. I'm like, eh, yeah, sure, it's the Miz. He's on a run. He's on the best run of his whole life, so yeah, let him do it. But
I've kind of turned the corner on him myself, where it's just like, I can actually find some enjoyment out of watching him.
Yeah.
Not when he's really working, but I mean, when he's on the mic, I mean, it's like magic now, because he's just...
Yeah, you kind of have to, like, respect him. It's like, all right, I don't like you, but I respect the fact that you're good at what you do.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just the whole hiding behind his wife whenever someone... A thing that I mostly have a problem with. It's like, come on, man. Really? Like, they're actually going to target your wife? No, they're coming for you, regardless.
Well, I mean, they've set up... they've laid the groundwork for WrestleMania with The Miz, which will be a mixed tag, which will be interesting.
Yeah,
it would be.
Because it's going to be him and his wife against Cena and Nikki?
I would think. Because they're going to try to shoehorn in John Cena proposing to Nikki. Like, I can kind of see this.
Really? Finally going to happen, huh?
It's going to be the Total Divas part of WrestleMania.
Yep.
And... Yeah.
So it should be interesting regardless, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, they have, what, 6 hours to fill or some shit like that?
Yeah. I mean, and that doesn't even count the week build-up, like WrestleMania week. And come ride a big pony, and it has a WrestleMania banner on it, and go jump in the bouncy castle that says WrestleMania. Like, that's the whole week.
I would totally do that.
Oh, I would too.
What is it? WrestleMania week this year begins and ends with NXT.
Yeah.
Which I think is amazing. So, I mean, they start off with TakeOver. Well, they got some shit on Friday, and then they got TakeOver, WrestleMania, Raw, SmackDown, and then they have the NXT tapings.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think in 1 week, on WrestleMania week, I want to say they're going to record like almost 30 hours of footage, with over 14 hours of that being live, which is dumb. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, just a little bit.
A little too much. Like, it's... I'm fine with a two-hour SmackDown, and even a three-hour Raw is pushing it. Mm-hmm. You're making my big ass sit in front of a TV for 8 hours to watch WrestleMania. Like, oh, just do it. Like, show me what I need to see, and then let's be done here. Like, I don't want to spend the entire day watching WrestleMania.
Right, I got vampire things to do, man. I ain't got time to sit on my boat watching TV.
They turned it into the Super Bowl legitimately, because the Super Bowl starts at like noon and ends at 11.
You know, I always thought like WrestleMania was like the Super Bowl of the wrestling world anyways, which is fine with me.
Yeah,
it was in a sense, but now they're actually like fully committing to like, we're going to have the pregame, and the pregame is going to run up for like 6 hours. And then you have the 6 hour show, and then halftime and all the other shit.
I mean, that's true. And we're going to have a pregame to the pregame, and you're going to see the video of us setting up the stage to do the pre-show.
Yep.
And like, I don't know how deep is this camera going to go back? Like, are you going to make a documentary about making the documentary about making the documentary? Like, are you going to keep going back and peeling this onion and be like, all right, now it's just some guy.
They're just going to start from the week before, you know, like, all right, day one on the road trip to WrestleMania. This is 12 PM. We are alive and kicking.
Yeah, we're at a 7-Eleven, and we bought Hostess cupcakes. Like, what is this going to be?
It's going to be a video log of
it. We ran out of gaffing tape, so we sent the guy out. He has a film crew with him. Don't worry.
Yeah, we ran out of ropes, so we sent a 40-person crew to document how we got the ropes. It's on a 30 for 30 ESPN special called Getting the Ropes. That's what we named it, and now it's...
They should return in about 2 hours. If not, we'll just send a search party, and that search party is going to have a camera crew as well.
They have a documentary based on the search party sent out for the. Yeah, like we can. we just need to be head of creative, is what I'm understanding right now. We just need to get this going.
As long as Dwight the Clown's like my manager, I'm okay.
I mean, I would not be against them doing a documentary about the guys that changed ropes during Raw for the cruiserweights.
Those guys are nuts, man. They're so fast. Yeah, they remind me of the NASCAR guys. So whenever the NASCARs like go and they like change out the tires real quick, and they're in and out within like 3.5 seconds, I'm blown away by they change all of those ropes. Apparently now they have a hook spring that like gets them, because before that they would send 30 people up there with like purple tape just to like
tape
over the ropes. That's nuts. But now they actually have like removable ropes, which seems scary to me. Like, how are those things not going to clip off when some
be like WrestleMania 20 all over again?
Yeah, the green just breaks. Whoops.
Hey,
and then don't they change the canvas as well, because it's got the stupid cruiserweight logo in the corners or something?
Yeah, I seen that. I think on what was it, Raw?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was on Raw. You seen the guys, and Braun Strowman was in the ring or something like that.
Yeah,
might have been Raw.
And then they do the 205 Live right after SmackDown, which I think is a terrible idea. But they do it there too, where they'll switch out the whole ring, and for an hour they'll film. Yeah. It's like, my whole deal is those poor cruiserweights. You know, they just basically saw AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose or whatever. So the big main event, and now you're going to bring out people that, you know, Mustafa Ali versus, and you're like, these guys are great, but we just saw AJ Styles wrestle. Like, these cruiserweights aren't going to show me anything that AJ Styles can't do. I just feel bad.
It's not like they're bringing out Austin Aries. I mean, arguably he's on commentary, but they're not bringing him out. They're not bringing out, I don't even know any of the other cruiserweights. Well, I mean, I've done more work than most of the fan base there. I've named one guy.
You named a single person, which means that you're 80%.
That's more not informed. Neville.
Yeah, right. That's not Neville. And
that's
not
Jack one Gallagher. Match I'm excited to see. I kind of like, in a way, I like Neville. Like, the guy is insane to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm waiting for Gallagher or whatever his Gallagher? Name is.
Yeah.
Oh, I am so ready to see him put Neville in his place.
It'll be good, man.
The guy is just a goof, but I love it.
Yeah. Oh, he's great at it. And he was that way on the indies. And
it's like,
yeah.
I'm a gentleman. I was this way. I was like, you tell him, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the cruiserweight thing doesn't work out for him, they can always throw him with the vaudevillains. I mean, there's that.
I've noticed that. And then also with the UK championship, and they brought about like Mustache Mountain, where you had Trent Seven, and you had Tyler Bate. They had the whole artisanal mustache, like, they're literally called Mustache Mountain. Like, that's their name. You know, it's like, just get them on there, man. They just need to make a big, massive Nexus style faction. Just have all of these gents, and then it has to be run by William Regal. And make it happen, man.
That would be awesome.
Make it happen.
Yes.
I mean, Regal's amazing to begin with. I mean, back even during his coked up days, allegedly in WCW.
I don't think there's an allegedly about it.
No. It's alleged that it may have been coke. It might have been other stuff.
Oh, sure. Okay, fair. That's a fair point.
One way or another.
Fair point.
I mean, he's talked about it. When he came over to WWF at the time, somebody asked him about. Well, remember when you did the real man's man thing? And he goes, I really don't remember that. I was way too drugged out. I remember them taking me out to the woods and having me hold something and squeeze an orange. That's all I remember out of the entire thing.
Oh my God. It is
fucking brilliant.
That's one of the best gimmicks of all time.
Yeah, Regal was awesome to watch.
And that song was one of those. It reminded me of and of course the Team America stuff came later.
Yeah.
But, like, it reminded me of a song that would be on something like that, to where it's like, he's a man, such a man. Like, it was, that was the whole song, talking about how manly this guy is, and he comes out in a lumberjack outfit, and it just, those are the moments where wrestling is very good. Like, yes, all of this makes perfect sense to me.
I'm surprised they haven't reused that gimmick yet. I mean, it needs to be done.
I agree. I see that as, you know how Mick Foley has the three faces of Foley?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where if Mick Foley goes crazy, he becomes Cactus Jack. Yep. I think for William Regal, head person of NXT, if someone comes out of line like a Samoa Joe or whatever, I think he needs to bring back such a man, William Regal, and come out with a lumberjack outfit and like beat their ass. I just think that's what needs to happen all the time.
I feel that that's more of his dude love. Whereas Lord Steven Regal would be more of his Cactus Jack.
With the long coat?
Yep.
Oh.
And the little manservant that's just like, yes. So it's like, don't touch me.
Why does that gimmick work so well? Because...
No idea.
There's like seven people that have had that gimmick of, I'm the hoity-toity guy from Britain, and I like my tea, and don't tell me how to spell the word color. Because I'll put the U in it. You won't tell me what like.
Favorite?
Yeah, right. Favorite. Yes, exactly. It's like, I speak the Queen's English, sir. But it works every single time. And then, of course, they're the biggest heel in the company.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
I mean, they tried that shit with the Blue Blood trip, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Oh, yep.
For a little bit during his start. And just... I mean, it went over pretty well, but then he got squashed by the Warrior, and nobody gave a shit about it. So
exactly.
To be honest, I don't even remember him being Hunter at all. Like, I remember watching like his debut match on like or something, and then next thing you know, like all I remember is Triple H. Like that's the game.
Really?
That's all I remember. Huh. Yeah, for I don't know. Throughout the period of like WWF into WWE, like a lot of it kind of just mind.
Sure.
So I remember that whole Attitude Era, like that was, you know, when my family, that's what we did on Monday and stuff. Like we watched it. We watched it on Saturday and when they had it, and Sunday when they had it. You guys remember, what was it, Heat?
I think it
was Sunday on Sunday. Heat. Yes. Like, and my stepdad was like a huge WWE fan. Mm-hmm. I was not. I was like, yeah, it's all right. It's not, I mean, it don't have The Undertaker, so why do I need to watch it?
Well, right. What is it like? I grew up in the Northeast, right in the New York area. We had Saturdays, we had Live Wire in the mornings,
which became
something else. And that was on USA. But then we also had two shows that night. We had WWF Metal and Shotgun Saturday Night.
And God.
It was just like, we had both of those. And it was back to back. It's like, just make it one fucking show.
Yeah.
And then we had
comedy's having flashbacks now.
Yeah. And like, it's like PTSD. I'm like, oh, Superstars, no.
Superstars, main event, why'd you do this to me?
Oh, God.
Right? But yeah, it was, you know, that's the main reason I watched wrestling. Because like, my grandfather was like heavily into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jake the Snake. And,
oh, yeah, man.
Oh, it's, man, Jake the Snake was...
Back then, it was still... It wasn't that wrestling was quote unquote real then. It's that there was still slightly the, is this a work or is it like, this has to be fake. Like there was still that question. Now, of course, there were always like smart marks even back then. I mean, people knew wrestling was fake even back in like 1930, but there was still, they presented it in a more... I don't know, like the whole time of like, yeah, Dusty Rhodes and then Ric Flair coming from NWA and, you know, like it felt more of a genuine sport spectacle instead of we're going to have a big concert with Snoop Dogg. Like that didn't really exist. Mm-hmm. It was more of here's the guy from Tennessee and he's coming to whoop the guy from Mississippi's ass. Like that was the whole storyline. It's like, Tennessee's better than Mississippi, oh boy. And then that's your whole, that's a 6 month long gimmick. You know, like, you didn't have to do
if
some
not
weird...
longer.
Yeah, I mean, if not, yeah, this could be a multiple year thing. I mean, you look at those old school WCW builds with like Ricky, the Dragon Steamboat versus Ric Flair. Oh my God.
I was even going to go as far as saying the Von Erichs and the Freebirds.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you had Texas and you had Georgia. I mean, that was the whole heat between
that was
them,
it. Basically. Yeah, it was Sportatorium, man. It all happened in the one building over the course of like 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a more simple gimmick. It was more of a simple, like, it made sense. You know, your heels didn't ride together in the cars. They stayed quote unquote bad guys, or like even Jake the Snake is one of those guys that he would wear a cast on his arm for months, even if his arm's not messed up at all. But because it's on the storyline, he's going to wear it out to go grocery shopping because he knows someone's going to see him. And
be like, hey, your arm's not broken.
Exactly. So yeah, he's going to have the cast on. Like, can you imagine having to go to work? And essentially you lied so badly that you have to be like, you have to wear a neck brace for the rest of your life. And you're like, oh, fuck, no, I got to do this. So, and not that you're hurt, you just told someone you hurt your neck and now you have to wear the neck brace. And you're like, oh, I guess I better always wear this now in case someone catches on the fact I'm lying. Like, that's what wrestling was back then, is they would
gotta keep up the image, man.
Yeah, that's that kayfabe, man. You gotta sell the ending. You gotta protect it.
Yeah.
The last one I remember hearing was Sandman in ECW when he got blinded. I mean, he was like, he just wore the gauze over his eyes. He didn't go to work. He didn't do anything. He was a construction worker, you know, and he didn't go to work or anything like that. He sat home because he was selling the being blind. You don't do that nowadays. It's not.
Because now everyone just knows it's fake.
Right. Exactly.
Everyone like, just knows.
It's scripted. This ain't real.
Yeah, which is, you know, whatever. And I mean, it might be even safer for the people now, for the performers. Yeah, right. So I'm like, I argue that the business is better now than it's ever been, even better than Attitude Era. Like, as far as the quality of the performer, the work ethic, the type of in-ring product that we get, like, I think it's better because there's way more options. Like, if you like good Lucha Libre, there's like four different federations that do the best Lucha Libre on the planet. But if you like strong style, there's like five Japanese places that you can watch amazing strong style wrestling. Yeah. So yeah, there's something for everyone.
More of a variety or outlets that you can watch now than it used to be.
And I think that's way better. It keeps more people employed. People can find, I mean, people want to see Kenny Omega in WWE. I can't think of anyone I might want to see less in WWE, because I think he's such a good fit for New Japan Pro Wrestling that
he's great for New Japan, and we still need a match between him and Tiger Mask.
Yep.
Or because I mean, him and Kota work really well together. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's the thing is Kota Ibushi. One of the reasons why he hasn't fully on joined WWE is he still wants the final set of matches with Kenny Omega. Like,
yeah.
They started in DDT Pro as a tag team, as a goofy tag team, and then they both kind of grew up together. They kind of split their separate ways. Now Kenny Omega is arguably the greatest wrestler walking the face of the earth, and then Kota Ibushi's not far behind him, and they just need another massive rematch to headline like Wrestle Kingdom or something, like blow it out of the water, right? But yeah, there's so many options, and I like the fact that wrestlers now can go on Good Morning America and like they look nice in their suit and they're like, yeah, we're having a lot of fun. Like, sure. You know, I'm not the guy that wants to see the super hardcore. Like I liked watching ECW back in the day, but looking back on it now, I'm like, these guys are literally suicidal. Like, why would you possibly want to work at ECW? Why? You couldn't pay me enough to work there. Because, and I don't know what it is, but I think Jim Cornette, you know, I love Jimmy, because he says some stuff. Like, I think he's wrong about a whole lot, but I think whenever he's right, he's really on point. And, like, he was like, back in the day, wrestling, you wanted to convince everyone it was real, but it was a work. Like, you would go in there and you would do this stuff, so you were doing all your fake stuff, and people thought it was real. Now in ECW, you're literally jumping off a building into flaming tables. Like, that's not fake. You're doing a stunt. Like, now you're doing shit that's real, and people think it's fake. Like, people are like, oh, wrestling, that's all fake. And, like, guys are taking a cheese grater to the face.
Yeah.
But for what? Like, people think it's fake. Why are you doing this to yourself? Like, I do a gimmick. Like, do a work.
I do think that they went way too far, and I'm just talking as a whole, not just talking ECW, but with the hardcore wrestling. I mean, you know, Cornette said it best, we would use a hardcore match as a blow off. But with ECW or CZW or any of the other organizations that emulated that, it was almost every match on the card.
Yeah.
I mean, it oversaturated it. It got to a point where, I mean, the big organizations, WCW, WWF at the time, had to have a hardcore division to kind of capture those fans. I mean,
sure.
And what do we get? 24/7 rule, which now DDT Pro uses for their, was a heavy metal weight?
Yeah, they're incredible. the blessing of the earth, like the greatest thing that's ever existed. Like, I love that stupid ass belt more than anything, because like a cat could win it. Like, you know, they could just, oh, there was one time that the belt pinned itself. So then,
wait, what?
Yeah. So the belt was the champion. So
that
then
is awesome.
Someone had to pin that, the belt. Oh, it's
one
genius.
Better than that was a worker by the name of Sashimi, I think it was, won. And then later on in the event, somebody was offered food, which just happened to be Sashimi. And the guy took three bites and the ref comes out of nowhere, raises his hand, hands him the belt. Like what the fuck just happened?
Right. It's like he conquered Sashimi. He's the new champ.
Yeah. You're it's like, just oh, shit. What?
I love it. Like, I love really dumb wrestling shit. Like, it's V-title. One of those things. It makes me so happy. It's like, that's why I always bring up the dumb Dolph Ziggler being Colonel Sanders thing. I was like, this is the best thing that's happened in 10 years. And why is no one like picking up on this?
I mean,
that was an awesome match.
Oh, so good.
I mean, we had Ziggler Miz there. I mean, that was mm-hmm. a thing. And then they gave us like four or five more times of that. I mean, nobody complained about that, but they complained about Ziggler and Corbin last year.
Right.
All those matches between those two.
Yeah.
And now those two are on. He's using basically the gimmick that Corbin did.
Right.
Now, yeah. Just
and the thing is,
the new NXT guys. Like that's.
I'll tell you what, man. Baron Corbin. He turned me around over the past like 5 months.
Oh yeah.
Same here.
He's a guy now, like he's a real brother. Because you got to think, I would much rather see Baron Corbin have a full on title reign than Roman Reigns. Totally.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Totally. He's better in the ring, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He seems more well controlled in his own story. Like he is his character.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I believe it. It's one of those things that, yeah, I believe this guy doesn't give a shit about anyone else on the roster. You know, of course he does, and listen to him speak on podcasts and stuff. He's a really well-mannered guy. Tons of respect for the business. Like, but he plays it so well that he doesn't give a shit. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. Like, put the belt on him because I want to see what chaos happens whenever you get a guy that really doesn't care. Like, it worked well with Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar is also... He's literally a monster. Like the guy is a genetic freak and there will be no one ever that's anything like Brock Lesnar ever again. Mm-hmm. But like Baron Corbin is a wrestler's version of that. Like he's a pro wrestling version instead of a guy who's actually dangerous like Brock Lesnar is.
I like the whole lone attitude thing he has too.
Yeah.
Like it's just, okay, let's see. I can't wait to see what he does next week.
Yeah.
Like he just don't care at all.
He doesn't. He'll go after anyone. He doesn't even need a reason. He'll just go and be like, that guy looked at me funny, so I'm going to kick him in the head. You're like, okay, great. Exactly. That's a great storyline. Awesome. Thank you. You know,
I don't like the color of your boom. You know, it's, oh God.
You beat match tonight.
Yeah. I want skits like that now where it's just like him beating the shit out of just people. And it's for the dumbest shit. Like they didn't validate their parking. They're in the wrong lane when they're on the interstate, you know, that little shit like that. I mean, I think it'd be great. You weren't supposed to be in the easy pass when you're paying cash.
He's the one man right to censor.
Yeah.
Sort of like,
oh my God, RTC.
Terrible. Talk about an annoying freaking song. Oh,
there's a lot of mileage that could be done with Baron Corbin. There's a lot they can do with him. And I mean, he's pretty much tapped for his Mania match with Ambrose. So, I mean, that if you didn't see Elimination Chamber, they set those seeds really good.
Oh, yeah, they did. Like, I would argue that, and I totally get why you didn't watch Elimination Chamber, because normally they kind of suck. Like it's a cool spectacle, but the pay-per-view is like, eh. This Elimination Chamber was on the freaking money. That last match, the actual Elimination Chamber match, was the best one I think I've ever seen.
Well, I will definitely be checking it out.
It's good, man. Like
probably tomorrow after work.
They redesigned the Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to do. Yeah. It's easier to do bigger spots, but the guys have more room to work. So they can actually do power slams on the outside and like they're not quite as like crunched in. It seems like less of a hassle now.
Yeah. So it's easier for them to move around. They've added more protection on the floor.
Yeah.
So now they don't have to worry about tearing themselves up on the metal grating. But everybody bitched about that, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, definitely.
And then I don't want to like spoil a whole lot of the match, but Baron Corbin put someone through one of the the pods, right? Who was it? Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, it was Ambrose.
Oh my God. I seen that on SmackDown. I was like, holy crap, why didn't I watch this?
Yeah, man, that was what nuts.
I like the Elimination Chamber just for that reason, to see someone go through the pods. Like, that sells it for me right there. Oh, you're going to bodily harm somebody? All right, I'm in.
Deal.
Exactly. This is like a hardcore match. This is going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, they did do that ECW Elimination Chamber, and we tried to forget about that.
Oh, God.
Everybody enters a pod with a weapon.
It's like, so dumb. That's the most Vince Russo idea I've ever heard. Like, you know, the sort of like, or what was the one in a, I think it was a cage match, and it was Dean Ambrose versus somebody. Oh, it was the Asylum.
The Asylum match with Jericho.
For fuck's sake.
And it was
sake.
Just like, there's nunchucks hanging from the top. And
yeah. Here's one crutch hanging off the, you know, like, yes. what? Like, this is nonsense. It's like somebody went to a stomp rehearsal and just like, but hey, there's a lid to a can. Let's get that on there and duct tape it to it.
There's a pan somewhere. We don't know where it's at, but good luck finding it.
But hey, it's fun. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. Yes. But I will say, maybe my favorite. So, like, going in the whole WrestleMania-type builds, I'm actually really looking forward to the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match because yes. I think what's going to happen. So, here's the deal. For Fastlane, I think Kevin Owens is going to retain the belt because he's going against Goldberg. So, I think Kevin Owens is going to retain. I really do. Not because Kevin Owens wins, but I think it's because Brock interferes and embarrasses Goldberg. Like, takes him out of the match, does all this other stuff, basically gets a one-up on him to be like, okay, now we're even. You spent the past however many years embarrassing me by, you know, getting me out in a minute and a half and all this other stuff. Now I'm going to embarrass you. Now you don't have a belt. You're a loser. Rumble. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's where I hope they go with it.
I mean, alternatively, they can always go the Jericho route, too.
Yes, Jericho comes back and actually still helps his best friend. But
No. Like, just kind of comes out there. It seems like a couple pay-per-views ago, they did this where the swerve of him coming out attacking Owens.
Oh, so Owens wins. Yeah.
Codebreaker.
Like, he means it. And I would say after him dropping the U.S. title, at the pay-per-view.
Gotcha.
Fastlane, if he has a match.
Sure.
To set up the Kevin Owens Jericho blow off at Mania, you know?
Yeah. And that is probably my favorite story in recent memory, is the whole friendship is magic thing that they had going on.
Festival of friendship.
It's so hysterical. But I will say that reveal where he gets the notepad or he gets his new list and it says the list of KO and all this.
Yes.
Genuinely, and it's weird. Every time Jericho comes back, no matter how long he's been gone, I'm always like, this is the best run of his career. Every single time he does it. And this time, after that bit, I'm like, this is the best run of his career. Like, he's the best. I think Chris Jericho, after he's reinvented himself so much, he knows exactly what to say and when to say it and how to look at the camera and make people laugh. And he has the crowd in the palm of his... I think Chris Jericho might be the greatest of all time. And it'd be hard pressed. The only other people off the top of my head that would even really compete would be Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. But
Jericho's a genius.
Jericho's there, man. Like, he could go in the Hall of Fame as each one of his characters.
Yeah.
Separately.
He could.
Nuts.
Speaking of which, I was very I got happy when DDP was announced.
Yeah,
I was like, man. Yes, finally. Like, he was a huge, like, if anybody from like WCW that I loved was Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah. I actually think it's weird that Booker got in before DDP did.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, it is weird. But at the same time, Booker was still technically working for the company.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I could see that being an easier in as opposed to trying to reach an agreement with a Legends deal and so on and so forth. So.
Especially back then. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Because now, I mean, the game's changed so much even in the past 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, getting those license agreements and stuff. But now, God, wrestling is so weird now. Like,
yep. It is.
The fact that we're going to have a freaking... we're going to look and see Chris Jericho, freaking Lionheart, versus Kevin Steen at WrestleMania? Like, what? And then you look and you're like, okay, so you're telling me Jon Moxley from CZW.
CZW.
a fucking CZW wrestler is one of the best, highest grossing people in WWE? Like, what? Like, yeah. And he's the same character. He's just changed his name to Dean Ambrose. So it's like, what's happening right now? And then you freaking look and there's like, I still am blown away that Shinsuke Nakamura is in NXT. Like, what is happening? Austin Aries. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bobby Roode.
Roode's the biggest shocker for me. Like, when that got announced, actually, him and Eric Young.
Yeah, man.
Eric Young's just like that caught me off out of left field. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't push harder to get James Storm to stay with the NXT.
Yeah, I wonder what the deal with that was.
He did two matches. I mean, that was it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm still like blown away that Kenta is like, that's all this is weird to me. Like, it's still weird to me. It's been a thing for like 3 years now, but I still just can't get over. I'm like, whoa, hold on. Wait, but Prince Devitt is now like he's going to come back and be in there with Seth Rollins, Black from Ring of Honor. Like, whoa. I guess it's just the thing of like, we're getting older and we've watched these people like come up in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember watching, Kenta versus Daniel Bryan in Ring of Honor and being like, these guys are amazing. And they're 22 years old, and like, they're super young guys, right?
Now they're in their mid 30s and you're just like, well, shit.
And like, Daniel Bryan's going to be a dad. Like, and
it was like watching X-Pac, but as the 1-2-3 kid.
Yes, right.
Remember that? Whoa.
You had 1-2-3 kid. Then you had... Yes. Then you had Six Kid whenever he did the NWO stuff.
Yeah, he had Six. Then he started getting called Six Pac. And then he came back. But even before that, he was the Lightning Kid. Oh, his first match with the company was as the Lightning Kid because they stole him from, was it UWF or some shit like that?
I think
that?
So. Yeah. Oh, and what makes me laugh, and this is another one of those moments to where you realize that wrestling is pretty good, is. You know why he's named Six Kid, right?
Like, why?
Do you know what the actual reason? So I thought, oh, cool, like maybe like Nikki Six or something, and he had the headband. It's like, nope. If you multiply, I swear on my life, if you multiply 1 × 2 × 3, it equals 6. I wish I were kidding. That's why he has that name.
That is terrible and a genius at the same time.
Wrestling is very good. Like, these are the moments I live for.
Right?
Because that is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, you want to be offended, but you're like, I guess it's just dumb enough to work. And like,
good job, Timmy. You created a genius.
Yeah, he sold t-shirts. Like, that idea sold so many t-shirts. And he had a huge following. And it was because he multiplied 3 numbers together.
That's... Oh, God. What? I don't understand.
It's amazing.
It's okay. We don't try and question it. We just roll with it.
Yeah, at the same time, he gets so much fucking heat, though. So it's beautiful there.
Well, whenever you do just running wheel kicks... As your entire move arsenal, you do a Bronco Buster, your wheel kicks.
Bronco Buster. It's time to put my crotch in someone's face again. Yeah, hold on.
Jumping, spinning heel kick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's
Factor, about it. Or whatever it was called.
Like, he didn't even have 5 moves of doom. He just had, like, the 2. He had.
Pretty much.
They tagged him in to do the Bronco Buster.
Didn't he have that cross-faced chicken wing in WCW?
Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what... I think now we've hit 5, and we've covered what, 20 years?
More or less, he's like a one-trick pony, in my opinion. Like, he just, I don't know, there just wasn't variety with him.
Well, he's part of the clique, man. Like, you didn't have to really...
Right.
And here's the thing, man. I love the clique dearly. That's another terrible wrestling thing that I'm just all about. Is like, I loved all that shitty NWO, like, whenever whenever they were getting more and more people that didn't even make sense, and now Dennis Rodman's part of it. I'm like, sure. Like, bring in whoever.
Donald Trump is going to be our newest member.
He's actually part of the real New World Order, so that's a... There's no theme song for that one.
Nope.
Just brimstone and fire everywhere.
Yeah.
We need a wall! Do it yourself, man!
Right. Hey, but it's good because there was that picture of I think it was like the McMahons visited the White House with Donald Trump.
Yeah, and
somebody,
I've seen that.
Somebody commented that 48% of this picture has been stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Like, I lost it.
Fantastic.
That is great.
I would like to shake that dude's hand.
Yeah, it's like that's a good statistic. That's one I'd like to keep close to the chest.
Be like, excuse me, person, can I shake your mom and dad's hand too? Because they created a genius.
It's like, I don't know what it is about WrestleMania. WrestleMania back whenever we were younger, and maybe it's because we bought all into it, it felt more like this full-on amazing spectacle.
Yeah.
But now it just feels like what we talked about before, like you have to check your watch and like, oh shit, I guess the pre-game show is about to start. I better turn that one on and see what Corey Graves has to say about, you know, Alexa Bliss or like whatever they're going to be talking about.
Right. When we were younger, the storylines ran like they were long-term storylines, and this was usually where a lot of them were resolved. So it was a bigger deal. Now it's like week-to-week storylines, and it's like, eh.
That's true.
Yeah, we kind of got like hooked in onto that, and it's just, yeah, like you said, it's just now it's just like, oh, okay, they're going to do this for like maybe a week or another week, and then we're going to move on to this, and it's like, no, this is too boring. Like for me, it's boring. That's why I honestly don't watch wrestling much. I just find it boring.
Yeah. It's good to have, you know, the moment-to-moment stuff because things happen, you know, like this past week we had Naomi had that injury and now she can't compete.
Yeah.
So they had to strip her of the title. Shit like that happens. So you got to have contingency.
Oh, definitely.
But, I mean, we can't – I mean, the longest story we have going right now is Triple H and Seth.
Yeah.
And what was it? And the Wyatt family storyline. That's the longest storylines we have since the draft.
Wow. Yeah.
I also like the Charlotte and Bayley.
I mean, but that's still a newer storyline, though.
Right. I just hope they kind of drag that on more and not end it yet, because I kind of want to see, like, Bayley just go crazy on Charlotte.
Oh, I think it'll happen. Yeah, they need to give more of the women time. I think the whole game is going to change once they bring Asuka up, though.
Oh God!
Like Asuka coming up.
Wait for that.
I know, and I feel kind of bad because apparently, and you know, dirt sheets. So who knows if things are even true? But the rumor is they want to keep Asuka in NXT for as long as possible. Not because she's not ready, but because she's so good at priming up the newer talent.
Oh yeah.
That. They don't want her to leave because then who's left to like groom these new female wrestlers coming in? Like, who's going to teach them? You know,
that is very much a valid point, though, because you don't have anybody in that position that's working in the ring to groom them. I mean, you do have the support staff and everything like that that kind of do finishing touches on people and whatnot. But unless you're actually working matches, I mean, you can't get somebody polished, and you got somebody like Kana there, and she does an amazing job.
Yeah, and she really does because she knows the drill, and she's so good at it. And like even seeing her live, like she has a certain enigma sense about her that she comes out, and you're like, okay, she's a megastar. Like the moment they pull the trigger on her, like, she's going to be off to the races. So I think NXT is in that weird spot now. They have nothing but talent there. Like, the talent in NXT right now is crazy. But you're also coming off the tail end of having, you know,
having it gutted.
Oh, we're going to take Finn Balor, and we're going to take Samoa Joe, and we're going to take Sami Zayn, and we're going to take Kevin Owens, and we're going to take, and you're like, oh my God, like, who's going to be left? And then thankfully they bring in Shinsuke. But how many more people are like that? Like, how many more people are such massive names even before they come in that they're going to keep that thing afloat? So I'm glad they brought in Eric Young. I'm just waiting for them to bring in Jay Lethal.
Oh God.
I think that would be a great move. I think NXT could be right in Jay Lethal's wheelhouse. But they're treating him really well at Ring of Honor, so I understand why he's not making the jump. But God, he'd be good. Like, that guy is WWE material through and through.
When I saw Jay Lethal back when he was doing local independent student shows in Jersey.
Yeah.
He just had a presence to him. I mean, that and his family. His family just, I mean, they could cheer a fucking building. Like, you wouldn't believe. Apparently so much so that Ring of Honor turned that into an angle at some point.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
But he was just such a phenomenal worker. Yeah. And even that, and this is, what, 2004, 2005, maybe? He was just, I mean, watched him work and you're like, he's going to do something great.
Yeah.
And then he went to TNA and, I mean, TNA does wonders for people's careers.
Yeah, I will say that golden goose that they got of him versus Ric Flair, where he got to do the whole Ric Flair impersonation stuff. He got to do that. They gave him that Black Machismo character where he was just Randy Savage. Like, that's all the character was, is just the homage to Randy Savage. I'm like, this is... I would normally feel bad for someone if they had to, like, oh, they have to take someone else's gimmick and run with it. But, like, Jay Lethal is so freaking talented that I was glad that that got to catapult him to the stratosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Has that always been his name, or did he...
back then, yeah, he was still Jay Lethal.
Yep.
Because I think I remember... Like, I kind of remember seeing that name somewhere.
So I'll post after this episode and after we get it live and going, if you go on my Twitter, I'll post up my favorite Jay Lethal bit of where he comes out with Ric Flair's Hall of Fame ring. And he does like a four minute spot on Ric Flair promo.
It's beautiful.
It makes me laugh really? So hard. Oh God. It's uncanny. Like, his voice is perfect. He even does the small things to where, and I'm going to butcher this, but there's something hilarious whenever Ric Flair gets riled up and he talks about that he's the 16-time champion. He always cuts the word off. He's like, I'm 16-time. Like, he'll do this weird yelling.
And then he pats his arms. Like,
yeah, he does that shoulder thing. And then he like drop kicks his own jacket. Like, Jay Lethal nails it. And it makes me laugh so much. And then whenever Ric Flair comes out to confront him about it, the crowd starts chanting, like, double vision, you know. And then Jay Lethal's like, hey, brother, it's like looking into a mirror. Like, it's such a good gimmick, the whole thing. And it actually resolved into like a 3 or 4 month storyline to where Ric Flair was like this delusional guy. Like, you better treat me like a god. Like, it was a great gimmick. The whole storyline's great. But it was one of those nice catapults for Jay Lethal to really, like, he not only got to work with Ric Flair for like half a year, but now people know how crazy good and talented you are. So, you know, hats off to him.
Oh, yeah.
Job getting your name out there, buddy.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, is going balls to the wall on Ric Flair. Like, that's kind of balls of steel. You know what I mean? Like, Not anyone can just go toe-to-toe with Rick. But yeah, like, there's so much good talent out there. I'm just curious to what you guys think about WWE not necessarily gutting independent wrestling, because I don't think that's what they're doing. But they really do have the power to take whatever big name they want and make them a deal that's too good to be true. And a lot of people are upset that that's really a thing, because they're like, well, what about my indie darling? What about King Ricochet? What about William Ospreay? What about Zack Sabre Jr.? What about, you know, and these guys and Joey Ryan? Like, what's going to happen there? Or hell, perfect example is Chris Hero. Chris Hero left and got a fucking run, man. Oh my God. Like, once again, best he's ever been. He ended up gaining 120 pounds and he became a monster, and the guy is incredible. And now he's coming back as Cassius Ohno. Like, good for him. But a lot of people are kind of butthurt about it. They want to see Chris Hero give those crazy forearm slaps to, you know, Shibata again, or they want to see him go somewhere else to where he's actually able to wrestle that style. But I think once you get primed and ready in those indies, you can kind of do whatever you want at that point.
Well, and I mean, it works the other way too, because, okay, so he was in NXT at one point, then didn't resign, left, went back to the indies, and his stock was a lot higher than it was when he left.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, for the workers, it's really beneficial for them to do this. It gets their name out there. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, do you think that if he hadn't made such a name for himself, we would even be having this conversation?
Oh, no way. Right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, there's a reason why he's being brought to the dance. I mean, yes. He's made a name for himself. And I mean, this same thing goes with when they acquired Generico and Steen. I mean, people were upset about that too. But I mean, look how that turned out.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine things any differently?
No, exactly.
So, yeah. And someone who I'm actually keeping an eye on for exactly that kind of deal that you're talking about is Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
Cody Rhodes left. You know, I love the Stardust gimmick. I thought it was great. He hated it, apparently. Mm-hmm. But now he's going, but he's doing
the shit out of it, though.
Yeah.
He would go to interviews in the paint as the character. I mean, that's commitment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that Stardust gimmick wasn't, it didn't settle well with me either, but yeah, he sold it really well. Yeah. And that whole little feud between him and Goldust, and then them working together, and it was great. I was like, it's still crap, but
polished. Yeah. It's like you could tell someone gave him this idea. He didn't come up with it himself.
Exactly. He's like, oh, yeah. Fine, Mom.
Exactly. Like, I got to do this thing, but he made it work. He put his all into it, and I think he sold it. I still think it's one of the best entrance themes in wrestling. Like, the music that played, I love the Stardust scene. I was like, that's fucking awesome beat. Like, and that and whole thing.
Apparently, so did Joey Ryan.
Right? Because he came out and...
That laugh of his, too, that little high-pitched cackling. It's like, God. Okay, I'm here. Yep, what are you going to do now?
It's like, sure, I'll take it.
I honestly thought for a little bit that he was on like some strong psychotic medicine or something, because he was just everywhere. It's like, yeah, I mean, I had some therapy back in the day too, but brother, you need it.
Right. It's such a good gimmick. But yeah, like the fact that it was forced on him and he made it work as well as he did, like, dude's super talented. But I do think there is something to... okay, perfect example is, you know, you get people that worked in WWE and then they go make a name for themselves, but then they really don't want to join back. I mean, you look at someone like Colt Cabana, did his stuff in WWE for a little bit. What was his name? Scotty Goldman or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, humor doesn't sell tickets. And, you know, they let him go. And now he's doing great for himself on the indies. He has his own podcast. He has all this other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But then you have the nerve to say that, but then you hire someone like Santina or Santino Marella. Yeah.
Oh my God. That guy was gold.
And he's amazing in the ring. They didn't give him near enough to do. Cause like that guy's a legit mixed martial artist. He's really good, but they never gave him stuff to work with.
No, right. They never did. They worked on his comedy chops more than anything.
Bingo.
I mean, they did the same thing with Nick Dinsmore. So,
oh, I feel so bad for him. Like, how did they think that was a good gimmick? Nick Dinsmore, what was his name? It was
Eugene.
Eugene. Oh.
Eugene's a special boy.
Oh.
Bischoff. Yes, I remember.
Like,
he was so fantastic at like the countering and stuff. That's why, right, I liked watching him. He's like, oh, okay, you're gonna clothesline? Nope, I'm just gonna drop to hold you. And you're right. That's the end of the match. I won. And he just walks away like a boss.
And like, I still look back in a crazy way on like, how did Eugene ever become a thing?
Right?
Because that's so, so rude and such in poor taste. And
it did give us a great William Regal moment, though. I will say that.
Which one? It was the...
Where Triple H used Eugene for something, and then Regal comes out and he goes, you know, we used to run together, WCW, blah, blah, blah. But what you did to that boy was just, was completely wrong, and now I'm going to give you the vilest venom and he just fucking tears into him, and then they have a match later on.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a great promo.
I remember that. I'm trying to think of like what happened though. It's like right there.
Yeah.
My tongue.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
I forget the exact catalyst, but yeah.
Nick Dinsmore is so good in the ring. He's like, he's what they call a mechanic. He's someone that can go in there, can work any style of wrestling at any time versus any opponent. Like, he just gets it. Him and, like, Norman Smiley is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Norman Smiley's a freaking genius in the ring. But what was his gimmick? He had a big smiley face, you know?
Well, that and the wiggle. I mean.
Yeah, and the wiggle. Just, yeah, that's true.
He was a hardcore champ who wore fucking football pads.
Once again, wrestling is very good. Like,
you know who I do miss is Hornswoggle. I loved Hornswoggle.
I'm gonna link you to a shoot interview that Hornswoggle did about 3 months ago, and he has some stuff to say about a lot, and like, super cool guy. What I didn't know is apparently on the stuff where Hornswoggle like comes out from under the ring.
Yeah.
He would be under the ring before they open the doors to let people in.
Yep.
Really?
He would
just stand there for however long?
For like sometimes 7 hours at a time. So they would give him like cups to pee in, and they would give him a total carny move, right? Like, this is complete carnival tricks that they're pulling. But poor Hornswoggle gets to live under the ring. Like, there's no trap door or underground tunnel. Like, no, he just sits there while they build the ring, and they build it over him. And then he sits
there.
I know it. Like, for fucking poor guy. I had no idea.
I honestly thought there was like a trap door or something that he just like crawls in and then comes out from under the ring. That's messed up.
He just sits there, dude. Like, it's so rude. Oh, man. But he has some good shoot interview stuff. Some great stuff.
I will definitely be looking for
him. Yeah, he talks about...
Hornswoggle was absolutely amazing.
Him going for, like, CM Punk, and then whenever he was Vince McMahon's son. That whole storyline.
God.
Just great.
It was fantastic. It was like Dink.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, Doink the Clown. I've said it like right before. Like, I am a huge Doink.
So
I love everything about Doink the Clown, even the little midget ones. It's just beautiful.
Oh man, Doink. I remember always picking him in like the video games.
Yes, the Sega Genesis wrestling games where he would be in it with like Bret the Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels, and where it was Yokozuna.
built on like the Mortal Kombat engine.
Yeah, the WrestleMania games. Yeah.
Did you know well, you guys probably already know this, but the running in that game was terrible. It was hard to stop.
Yep.
Here I go, running like a bullet train, can't stop.
And what was the other one?
People with legit tombstones, though. I'm just saying, that was always a fun
thing.
That's
right. And what was it? It was In Your House was the other one. So there was WrestleMania.
The shitty sequel.
Oh, so bad. And like Heartbreak Kid, like Shawn Michaels would do the thing and blow a kiss and hearts would come out.
Yes.
Like, oh, what the hell?
The Undertaker would like go to throw a punch and they'd be like, you just see this gray like smoke or whatever coming from his fist. Yo. Yeah, Lex Luger in that game was insane.
Of course.
That dude was so hard to fight. I was like, what is this? I can't even hack this game to beat you.
Lex Luger, man. Like, what the F? You look at that dude's whole career, and you could just tell he didn't want to be there. But the whole time. I take that back. There was a year and a half long run during War Games, whenever that was the big pay-per-view, where he was like top of the heap, genuinely number one. Like, he was probably the best worker in the business because he understood how to get the crowd control and all that. But other than that, you could just see Lex Luger was just sort of looking around. He was like, so this is where I stand? Okay, now I'll do my pose. And I look over here. And, like, that's how I felt like a majority of his career went.
Like, here, I'll flex, make the and then I'll body slam Yokozuna, the world will love me.
And that was
pretty much it.
And they
still love the Lex Luger moment where it's him. I think it was him and Bruiser Brody in the steel cage. And Brody just no-sells the shit out of him. And he's just like, and fucking Luger's just like, all right, I'm fucking out of here. He climbs over the cage. Like, that's not the way to win this match, but he climbed out. He's just like, I'm fucking done.
Yep.
Like,
just done.
It's like, that's it. Yep. You hurt my feelings. I'm out of here.
So good. And you can just tell what those backstage parts were like after that. Just they were so heated at one another. And I just love all that actual backstage drama.
Yeah.
This is a whole business full of carnies that have such an ego trip.
Yeah.
Especially back then. Because, like, roids were legal. You know what I mean? They were basically their own marks. Like, they bought into their own shit. And, you know, as much as I love guys like Kevin Nash, like, he's guilty as charged. Like, well, why did he have to win? Why did he have to win and I couldn't win? And I shouldn't be putting him over because he's been in the business less time. Like, they would have all these bullshit reasons why they wouldn't put each other over. And so funny. Now you don't have to worry about that. You have a writing team that does it for you. So you're like, oh, I'm just going to show up to work and, you know, have fun.
Yeah, you get a writing team. You don't give the workers creative control because they like to exercise that whenever they can. Yeah, I'm not putting this guy over tonight. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you're kind of going to do it because we said you're going to do it. Yeah. So because if you don't, and, you know, people really, they say they want, well, wrestlers should have control of their own storylines.
No.
It's like, what happens is WCW is what ends up happening. You have 40 people in the NWO and Goldberg, you know, punches his arm through a window and is out for 9 months. And so you have a heel faction with 4 dozen people and no babyface to fight them. But then DDP swoops in.
People, and then another 4 dozen in, what was it, New Japan? Or was it All Japan? I forget which one. Because they had that deal going on.
Yep. Oh, crazy. Just don't let the wrestlers control anything.
No.
Just have them. It's like, you really wouldn't want One Direction writing their own music. Trust me. You really wouldn't want that for yourself. Have the studios of 500 people make it in a lab and hand it to them and be like, please, boys, learn this song. Okay. And then it's going to be a number one hit. you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's, yeah. And a lot of people make fun of Vince McMahon for saying, like, what was his exact quote back in the Attitude Era? Like, you don't like what you like. You like what I say you like. He's sort of not wrong.
No.
I mean, as much as people boo the shit out of Roman Reigns, the only person that beats him in merch sales is John Cena.
Yeah.
Who everyone else boos. So mm-hmm. It's like, why are we going to take the fans seriously at all when our two guys that get booed the most sell the most merch? Like, why would you? Why would you ever take them seriously? Because they are saying one thing and then doing another. You know, these guys that are at the live events booing Roman Reigns end up buying a t-shirt on the way out. So something's going on.
I mean, it's really what it comes down to is those merch sales. I mean, Yeah. That's how we can, that's how they can tell, like, okay, this is the guy we're going with. I mean, if, for example, Mojo Rawley sells, like, for out of nowhere, just starts selling the shit out of merch. Don't think he's going to go to the top of the card?
Oh, yeah, of course. They're going to main event that dude, like, yeah, in a heartbeat. So that's what it's about. It's about selling stuff.
Yep.
I mean, selling tickets to a live event. The title read. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the deal, is you're going to put the belt on the guy that's selling the most t-shirts. Like,
could be the worst one there, but oh, he's selling his merchandise better than anybody else. Let's hear. You get a free title shot.
I mean, and that's kind of, I mean, that's the only real way to do it, I think. Because I'm a big fan of very technical chain wrestling. Mm-hmm. I completely understand that 99% of everyone else hates that shit. I don't mind. Like, I love it. There's wrestling out there for me to watch that to get my fill of strong style, or like somebody wins a match with an ankle lock. Like, I can dig it, but I totally understand the people that want to see a Superman punch. Like, 100%. I see it. I'm not too much up my own ass to be like, well, if they were smart, what they would do is they would bring up, yeah, it would be Shinsuke Nakamura versus Hideo Itami in an Iron Man match at the main event of WrestleMania. In my perfect world, yes. In reality that we actually live in, absolutely not. Because that would be a snooze fest for a majority of WWE people. It's just the nature of it, you know.
Although, I would say that a WrestleMania match with AJ and Shinsuke would sell tickets.
Yeah. And if they were able to get a little bit of the New Japan footage and be like, these guys had a war at Wrestle Kingdom 10. Now are they gonna, like, basically do part two here at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
They could. And 5 years ago, I would have been, there's no way in hell they're gonna get footage from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Whenever they freaking brought in the club and Luke Gallows and, you know, Carl Anderson, they fucking showed New Japan Pro Wrestling footage. Yep. And I was like, what reality are we in right now? That now they're licensing Ring of Honor and Evolve and New Japan footage just to show on Monday Night Raw. That's nuts.
When they bring in the Hardys, they won't use TNA footage. I'll tell you that much.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
Nobody wants
it. I think WWE's because monopoly, pretty much. They're like, yeah, we're just gonna own everything.
Yeah. And I mean, the deal is, I wish that they would buy a lot of the tape libraries that are kind of being carted around right now. Like, I would love it if WWE bought Pro Wrestling Noah's tape library. I know they're out there wanting to sell it, and I mean, oh my god, if they had the tape library for Noah, that's all I would do all day. I'll just watch old Pro Wrestling Noah stuff.
I would, honestly, I would love if the network evolved in the sense of bringing, and I know they talked about this late last year, of possibly, like, there was that survey, would you be interested in seeing independent wrestling footage on the network? And I was all for that shit. I still am for that shit. I would love to see them do that, but
bring in new talent.
Yep.
expose like new people to, you know, the community and stuff. I mean, to just grow.
For example, they were to, let's just say, perfect world, they get rights to put Ring of Honor footage on network. I mean, you got a lot of Steen's library there. Yep. You got a lot of Generico.
Yeah.
I mean, most of your big names now are coming from there.
So. Oh, absolutely. Austin Aries, everything Daniel Bryan ever did, fucking CM Punk. Like, you get a lot of stuff for that money. And then we talked about Jay Lethal earlier. This is how you introduce, like Vamp said, this is how you introduce Jay Lethal to a WWE audience without ever having him show up. You know? Then you see this, and then you can talk about, oh, if you've seen the footage on the network, there's a guy named Jay Lethal, and we may have an interview with him on Raw. And then that way he gets his face out there. He doesn't even need to be in the building, really.
Yep.
It's a good way to, like, bring people in a little bit.
Yep. Maybe some new fans that don't really care much for WWE, but, like, the other organizations, like, oh, my God, WWE has this on. Let's go check it out or whatever. You know, you never know.
Like, even if they were to go and do something like that, where they also had the independents and whatnot on the network, and we're like, instead of $9.99, it's now going to be $14.99. I'd be fine with that.
I would too.
I mean,
I would pay the premium for sure. Yeah.
Hell, I was so fucking tempted to sign up for DDT Pro's service, the DDT network thing. Because that looked amazing, and I want to see Kota Ibushi shoot fireworks at people in the woods. He's arming the crowd.
He is. And he's doing flips off of forklifts, and he's running over people with go-karts.
Oh, God.
He's insane.
He looked so happy doing it, too.
He did. He was beside himself. He just was filled with so much joy. And then it made me laugh more because he would rather do that. He basically gave the middle finger to WWE. He was like, are you going to let me hit people with a go-kart? I don't think you are, so I'm not going to join your organization.
I honestly think it had more to do with the Tiger Mask deal.
Maybe so.
Than DDT, because, I mean, he was kind of on his way out with DDT at that point.
Yeah.
And then in Cruiserweight Classic, still technically with DDT, whatever. Does the apartment match, like, which, Vamp, if you have not seen the apartment match, you have to.
I can honestly say I have not. I honestly, I don't even keep up with, like, about everything you guys are talking about.
Shit you will ever see.
Yeah, so the apartment match, it was set up, it was kind of a spoof of that Bruce Lee movie, Enter the Dragon. Was it Enter the Dragon, where he fights
I think so.
Or was it like Game of Death, where he has to go up the tower, and every floor has a boss fight, sort of?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, this floor has
Game of Death.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is on this one, and you have to figure out how to fight him. And then, like,
Floor 13, there's Shaquille O'Neal.
Right, so that's like legit, like, in the movie what it was. So they kind of spoof that in DDT to where Kota Ibushi has to go up this apartment complex, and every single apartment room that he goes in has a person that he has to fight. So one guy, he goes into the apartment, and it's a guy that has like a garden, and he's like pouring water on carrots, and the guy takes out carrots like nunchucks and like tries to beat him up with these carrots. So then they have a little wrestling match, and then he pins him, and then he wins. Hooray. Now he goes upstairs.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So then the next match is he walks in, and some guy's getting spanked by a dominatrix. And
what?
I swear on my life, this is absolutely true.
Oh, my God. This is really a thing. That's the greatest thing ever.
It's like an hour-long pay-per-view of this. Like, that's what this whole thing is. And I was like, yeah, this is what wrestling should have always been. Like, this is just stupid enough.
It is everything Jim Cornette hates about wrestling.
Oh, God, he went off. He was like, this is exposing the business. And I'm like, dude, everyone knows it's fake anyway. Like, we might as well laugh at it.
They're fighting like, sorry, the goddamn blow-up doll.
And Kenny Omega, I think right now he's the best thing going in pro wrestling. One of his most famous matches on Earth is when he fought a 9-year-old little girl. Like, there's a 9-year-old little girl in the ring doing wrestling moves to him. And then he does he acts like he's gonna powerbomb her out of the arena. Like it's the whole thing.
What?
Oh yeah, man.
Oh my god.
And then he kicks her in the head.
Yeah, he legit does an enziguri to a 9-year-old little girl. And I laugh. Wow. I spit out my drink. Like this poor little girl, just like she's wanting to fight and puts up her fists and stuff, and she's pretty good. Like she knows how to run the ropes, and so she got all this stuff going on. And then out of nowhere, Kenny Omega just kicks the shit out of her in the face, and it makes me laugh every time. And and another thing is that reminds me of the Young Bucks. There was a little boy that had a birthday party, and they had a birthday party in New Japan Pro Wrestling, like a house show, but someone recorded it. Yeah. And it was like, it's Max's 8th birthday party. Hooray. So Max and his dad get to go in the ring with the Young Bucks and they take a picture. And then the Young Bucks super kick the dad in the face. And the little kid's like, oh no. And then they kick the little kid in the face. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, it's so good. My God, they're child abuse live.
Oh, God.
It's so funny.
Wow, that. Oh my god.
Like that's what I mean, man. There's so much good shit out there now that if you want to watch some wacky shenanigans and they they wrestle a blow up doll all the time. It's so good.
It evolves.
Next week you're wrestling a rubber chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean,
and what's terrifying about it is they work good matches with it. Like Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega work incredible matches with a fake thing. Like you believe I would rather watch them fight the blow up doll than like half of the stuff whenever there was OVW back in WWE time. Like I would way rather watch it. They just know how to work. So seeing them work, they work a match so good they can do it with a blow up doll. Yeah, I mean that's just the truth. They're so good at what they do that they don't even need an opponent to do a good match. So you have that kind of talent and it's all around the world. It's just, it's better than it's ever been. Wrestling is in a way better place. If people ask me, when is the golden age of pro wrestling? I say right now, like right now is the best time to jump in for all of it. All of it, no matter what you're into. If you're more of an MMA person, go watch some strong style shit. And I come to me and say that it's not fake. Like, I mean, they're kicking each other in the face, man. Like you can't really fake that past a certain point. You know, whenever strong style guys are like dislocating shoulders and they're putting people in real Kimura locks, like that's a pretty stout, business they got going.
I mean, you could just ask Austin Aries how fake, the strong style is. Oh. I mean, he got his fucking orbital bone crushed.
Yes. His eye socket shattered. Because he got kicked. He got kicked in the face. Like, he got kicked so hard, his eye broke. Like, how does that happen?
I don't know.
And, like, poor Yoshitatsu got his neck broken from getting a Styles Clash in Japan. I mean, that shit's no joke, man. It's a rough business.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you tuck your chin. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate that it happened, but you got to learn how to take the moves.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes. That's the lesson there.
Yeah. And like, oh my God, every time, and I know we're about to wrap up here, but every time John Cena takes a Styles Clash, my heart skips a beat because he'll tuck his chin until the last, and then he turns his head to land on his cheek. And I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, John, don't do that. Like every time I'm like, like I freak out at my TV, but I think he does it because he knows I'm freaking out. Like I'm convinced that's how good John Cena is.
He would no sell a broken neck though.
Dude's a hoss. Like people give John Cena flack. John Cena is one of the best workers on the planet.
Yeah.
Like he's, Last year and the year before, John Cena may have been the best wrestler of the year. Like, I could put him in that category. It's like, you put him up against Kenny Omega. You put him up against, you know, Tanahashi. You put him up against Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, John Cena's up there, man. He nails what he does. He could tell a story better than any living person in a wrestling ring. Like, I genuinely believe that. Because no matter what happens, the crowd is way into every John Cena match. Every yeah. single one. They're booing, they're cheering, it doesn't matter. Like, they are on the edge of their seat to see what happens. And anytime he puts out that pop-up Hurricanrana, or he does that crazy, like, powerbomb stuff, or he brings up, yeah. like, the crowd erupts. They go nuts. They bonkers for John His Cena.
Drop from the turnbuckle.
Yeah, man. Like, anything. He has them in the palm of their hand. Like,
you know, he definitely knows how to work the crowd.
That he, and I mean, whenever you're talking about a business where it's all about working the crowd, he might be the best in the world. It's one of those things. Like, I do have kind of a slight hate for Roman Reigns, because I think he's not ready to be where he's at yet.
No,
I just don't think they're not doing him any favors. Because he's not as adept to it as like Randy Orton was. They skyrocketed Randy Orton quick, but he was smart enough and good enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
But with, you know, and I'm not even a huge Randy Orton fan, but I know that that dude has talent and charisma out the wazoo.
I've been a Orton a while, and yeah. I was actually happy to see him win the.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
And like his stuff,
I was like, yes, finally. Yeah,
his stuff with the Wyatt family is genius.
Oh yeah, it is. I honestly was expecting like him to like betray the Wyatt family too.
It's coming,
baby.
All right, come on, RKO, come on.
It's
come on.
Coming. Oh, you gotta wait.
Oh, I can't wait.
He's building it, and he's building it perfect. Oh no, you're the king. I'm not. We're gonna have a battle royale to see who's really gonna fight you at WrestleMania. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
And then you have that botched finish.
Oh yeah, which is a whole other can of worms. Yeah. But all in all, wrestling is very good. Everyone should be watching wrestling. If you're not watching it, fix that yes. immediately.
You're even not old living life unless.
Yeah, that's true. You're not really brothering around unless you're watching wrestling. That's just the nature of it.
Yep.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's a, but that's it. But gentlemen, I think that's going to do it for episode number, God, what is this, 19?
19, yeah.
Wowza. We're getting
yep,
there.
Yep, and I've been here from the start. Episode one, man. I'm hooked. I'm addicted to it. And if nobody else is, well, then you guys should. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
That's absolutely true. But guys, thank you so much. You've been incredible.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Episode.
You know,
Marco, we're here for you, buddy.
That's right, man. You're like, it's hard to vacation. Fill. It's hard to fill the shoes of Marco Flores.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Like, it's impossible.
But we made a promise to him that we would brother around in his absence. Give him something to listen to while he's visiting family in the Philippines. But yeah, Hera, shout out to him. Stay safe, brother. Next week, you know what? I might ruin the surprise right now on what the thing next week is going to be.
Oh,
because I want to hear what your live reactions are. So next
all right,
week,
everybody, get your beer, get your drinks, whatever. Sit back.
Get it. So what's going to happen? So we had the week before, we had a new episode of Comedy Log, played the Mobius mm-hmm. Final Fantasy game. Got to play that for about an hour.
How was that, by the way? I didn't check out the video yet, but I just want to hear your thoughts.
It's good because the game plays itself.
Really?
Yeah. It's a mobile game. So basically it's a phone game they adapted. They brought in, it's on Steam. It's free to play. But the thing is, you can hit the auto button. And you don't have to do anything. It's fantastic. So you can just be leveling up, not even caring. And
just run the game, do something else.
Absolutely. sometimes I play it at work. I'll have it on my other computer on at work. And I'm like, yeah, I'll level up while I'm working. Sure. Great
Sounds
stuff.
Like my kind of game.
Absolutely. Plays itself. and then, so that was last week. We had CommiLog. And then this week, of course, is this episode right here of Brothering Around with Todd and Vamp. So, next week, it's the return of the Twitch stream.
What?
What? Wait, hold up. I'm checking my heartbeat here. You're not just, like, messing with us, right?
No. That is, we are shooting right now. This is a shoot.
Oh, snap. Because you know, the hobos have been waiting.
Yes, sir.
Tommy. on Twitch. So,
so that's the deal. And I even told Marco that, because he was like, well, are you going to be cool? I know I'm going to be gone for about 3 to 4 weeks. Like, do you have stuff planned? And then I thought about it, and I was like, and that was our first idea was like, well, we got to get Todd and Vamp on a podcast. Like, that's number one. Number two, I'll record a video. We'll get some sort of content up. But I was like, I wonder if I should do a comeback episode on the Twitch stream. And Marco flipped out. He was like, oh, geez. He's like, I'll leave every week if that's the case. Like, and I was like,
Marco.
And I was like, see, but that's the fun of it, is it's going to keep it special. It's going to keep it like, if it doesn't happen all the time, it's going to be a main event. But so what I'll is we'll know who really listens to the show now.
Because
we will see who responds like, holy shit, Kami's coming back next week.
Just remember, guys, Kindred are hiding in the shadows. We're watching you guys.
That's right. So that's how we're going to know who the real brothers and sisters are, if they're listening. Yep. But we're pretty good at hyping things, right? We're pretty good at doing the hype. So we're going to we'll still talk about it in secret. We'll be like, hell, the big thing's we'll start coming using on Wednesday.
Like Illuminati code phrases. And
that's right.
I mean, I still think that I'll probably be using my hashtag.
Follow the brothers is great.
Follow the brothers. Yes.
Yep. I mean, God damn. But, why do I got to rip off such a great wrestling faction?
Because it works.
Absolutely.
It totally does.
But I just
changed out one word. That's it.
Back to stream.
Ooh. Little vamp action.
I've been gone a while. I've, just been working, and recently just haven't had the energy to do anything.
Yeah.
Dealing with this cold, which I work double time to prevent it from. Because I can't, I work in a restaurant. I can't have the flu be around food. That's just not, that's against health code. I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got bills, like everybody else. I got stuff I got to pay. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
So I think once I get my new headset, this is on its last leg. I think I might actually go back to streaming again.
Yeah, man.
So I miss it. I miss my vampire army. I miss chatting with you guys and everybody from the Hope Network, the Precipice, like everybody.
Oh, yeah, man. It's and I had that same kind of feeling. I was like, maybe I should do it at least one night just to see.
I will definitely be tuning in if it is 100% going to happen. Oh, you can count on the Hobo Assassin to be there.
It's a done deal. Like, it's a guaranteed. Even if you watch the Mobius Final Fantasy Kami Log episode, it's set up like a live stream.
Sweet.
And I kind of hint it there because you see it and it's a different opening video. And then I'm like, so this is kind of a teaser. It has the webcam set up, all of it. Like, it has the new layout.
Man. Nice. Get the bald goodness.
That's right.
Yes. Balder.
And the thing is, like, I'm actually more buff now than I was then, because I'm looking back and now I've gained like 20 pounds of muscle. It's ridiculous. So we're there tearing it up, man. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be the comeback, man.
I've seen some of your Twitter about the working out and stuff. So that's awesome, man.
The bodybuilding stuff. It's the real deal. Got to be in WrestleMania shape. That's what we got to do.
Definitely.
Got to look good for WrestleMania.
I have a announcement to make.
Oh?
So, Kami, you of all, along with several others, have been wondering what I look like. So I might actually, guys, as a reveal. So
shit.
But it's totally up to, like, I would say, the view. Right, you guys actually
leave it up to the people.
It's totally up. Yes. You don't watch Brothering Around, you will not get the pick. Straight up. That's just how it is.
Right.
Just gonna leave it there.
It's a real deal. So, we gotta get it going. I'm gonna be telling everybody we gotta do the reveal of the vampire, the lead vampire of the vampire.
It needs to happen.
I mean, just guaranteed.
I know Britt's been waiting for how long?
Oh yeah, for like a year and a half now. Like On the money.
Yes,
definitely. Nice slow burn just... on that one.
I was messing with her one day, Kami was streaming, say I was going to use the Steam program Face Rig, mm-hmm. just to mess with her.
Get a poser model.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Kami. I was like, I'll use the vampire. He's like, no, that's not going to work. I was like, it will totally work. But like, hey guys, I got a webcam, but guess what? You're not actually going to see me.
Oh man.
But yes, I will definitely post a picture reveal on Twitter, mind you.
Oh, Twitter. So speaking of Twitter, let me do that last little bit to wrap this up. You got to follow the boys on Twitter. You got Vampiric Warrior right there, which is twitter.com/ HG Vampiric. Is that right?
Sir.
Got that one. And then, of course, Todd. Everyone knows Todd, man. You got to get on it at twitter.com/ToddEVF.
Coming in like a rainmaker.
That's right, man. And then your boy, of course, Wes Gardner at Commie to Hobo. Everyone knows. Got to come on commietohobo.com. Got to go there. All the videos, all the archives, all the podcasts, all the shows, all the live streams, whatever you want. It's going to be up there. Also, some Audible links if you want to brother around, listen to some good audiobooks from our friends at Audible. And of course, it wouldn't really be a brother around without a plug for Mr. Marco Flores, twitter.com/MarcoPolo177. That's episode 19. It's in the bag. You guys are the real McCoy. Thank you, brothers, for joining me today.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next week on the live stream. What?
Peace. It's pandemonium gone wild.
It's insane.
It'd be awesome.